What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We are three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. What is up, guys? And let me first start by saying Happy New Year. It is now 2020, and this is the first show of, I guess, now our third season with the Locked On Chargers podcast. I guess I'm going to have to change the intro, but thank you to everyone who wished us a Happy New Year, and I want to send that favor back to you guys and tell you guys to get off to a good start in 2020, unlike me, who's kind of a little bit sick, so always a great way to start the new year. But I did think it would be fun for us to get into an all-decade team. I know it's kind of cliche, everybody's doing it, but we went ahead and did that. So today we are going to get into our all-decade team and go into the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. And I think one thing that you're going to find out is there were a couple of positions on the Chargers that weren't really good over this past decade and were a little bit hard to choose. So we'll go ahead and get into that, but first we're going to start with the news that came out this week about Nazir Adderley and the actual injury that he had with his hamstring, which turned out to be a tendon split, which made some of the things that Gus Bradley said when he was put on injured reserve kind of questionable. So that's where we're going to start the show today. So let's go ahead and get into it. When the Chargers drafted second-round rookie Nazir Adderley out of Delaware, they definitely thought he was going to be a starter for them, or at least that's what they envisioned. But after injuries derailed his rookie season, one coach decided to make a questionable comment about his availability and about maybe how much he likes to play the game. This is Daniel Wade joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. We found out this week that Nazir Adderley, who was put on the shelf by the Chargers with a hamstring injury, was not just dealing with any kind of hamstring pull, but actually a split tendon, which is obviously much worse. He dealt with hamstring injuries dating back to his pro day, which is what allowed the Chargers to select him so late in the draft, late in the second round, because he was such a talent and was rumored to be a first round pick for most of the draft process leading up to his pro day. And David, it sucks for a rookie who has all the promise in the world. He was making statements before the season that him and Derwin James were going to be the best safety tandem in the NFL, and he was never really able to play anything other than special teams, which is a real shame, because in the one preseason game that we saw him, even though we know it's preseason and it was week four of the preseason, he had an interception and probably should have had three interceptions, but he was all around the ball, and unfortunately, his rookie year was cut short, leaving us to wonder what would have been.
It's tantalizing to think. I mean, I know that it was only one preseason game in week four, and I understand that, but you can see the instincts and just the ball skills and just, you know, just his presence on the field. He's around the football. The game speed is there for Nazir Adderley, and you can just kind of sense that if he was able to get on the football field, he could have made some special things happen, especially if he was able to be by Derwin James. I mean, both those guys together, you know, their skill sets, I think, mesh really, really well.
Yes, and we all had grand plans for Nazir Adderley and thought about what the Chargers would be able to do with him on the back end, because even through his time with Delaware, he was so electric, being able to take the football away. And once he had the football in his hands, he turned into a kickoff returner, which he also had a kickoff return touchdown in college as well. But you hate to see soft tissue injuries like the one with Nazir Adderley, which made it so every time he came back or tried to come back, he ended up with some sort of setback that caused him to miss more time, which makes more sense now, knowing that the Chargers may have misdiagnosed him originally, or even whoever checked him out during his pro day, because it was a split tendon. But it makes what Gus Bradley said before he went on injured reserve more questionable, because before it happened, Gus Bradley said, "We're trying to be patient with him and have him come back. I think he's a guy that feels like he needs to be 100%, but he's going to have to learn that you might have to play at 90 or 85 in this league, so he's figuring that part out." I thought that was a questionable comment and really singling out a player when it happened, but now that we have all the facts, David, that's why you do not single a player out like that, when obviously your own medical staff doesn't even have all of the information.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm not really a fan of criticizing or talking about players to reporters, period, in a negative light. I just think it sends the wrong message. But this one absolutely was a really bad look for Gus Bradley. Obviously, in retrospect, looking back on it with the information that we have now, I'm sure he feels a little stupid, you know, having said that to the media and releasing it out to the world. When you don't have all the information, especially about an injury, you're setting yourself up for failure. And I think that's what Gus Bradley did. And also, the Chargers medical staff, I mean, this is not a good look on them either. It's their job to figure out what's going on with these players and to fix them. And, you know, this type of misinformation is something that has to be cleaned up going forward.
Yeah, you have Mike Williams, who says that he still doesn't know what's necessarily wrong with his knee, which is a little scary to think about. But for Gus Bradley, it doesn't make players want to play for you when you say things like that. It's one thing to hold a player accountable, but to somehow insinuate that he was not going to go out there injured and that's somehow a bad thing for Nazir Adderley really paints him in a bad light. So we will just have to wait for 2020 to see if the Chargers can finally cash in on the draft pick that they thought so highly of in the 2019 draft, and hopefully by the start of next season, he will be the starter at free safety for the Chargers. But we do have two more segments to get into. It's time to get into our all-decade team. We're going to start on the offensive side of the ball and wrap the show up with the defensive side of the ball and the special teamers coming up right after this. But first, I need to tell you guys that if you want to make these games more interesting now that the Chargers are out of the playoffs officially and their season is now over, you can still make some money and have fun watching football games that don't have the Chargers in them with MyBookie. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all of your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. If you guys are already planning on betting this season or in the playoffs, do the smart thing and go to MyBookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. And it's not just football. You can bet on the NBA, college basketball. You can get in on so many sports and find ways to win money with MyBookie. And it's even better than that because if you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. All you have to do is enter the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, to activate that offer and take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. And as I do every single week, I have to send a shout out to our favorite car dealership. And of course, we're talking about Metro Infinity, which is right off the 210 in Monrovia. We've already had one of our Locked On Chargers listeners go and buy a new Infinity from Metro Infinity, and they're the best place to go. You have to check out their brand new multi-million dollar facility and see the amazing selection of new and used cars. One of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity, if you don't like coming into the dealership, it's no problem at all. They will bring your new car and the paperwork to your home or office and complete the whole transaction there. They take pride in not being your typical car dealer where it takes hours to buy a car. They don't play games and they want their customers to have a luxury car buying experience, and they'll even save you some money because if you tell them that we sent you over there, you'll get an extra $500 off any car purchase. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or at metroinfinity.com. And right now, you guys can lease a brand new Infiniti Q50 3.0 luxury loaded with navigation for only $1,000 down and $325 a month plus tax. Plus, you get that extra $500 off if you tell them that Locked On Chargers sent you over there. All right, guys. Well, it's time to get into the next segment, getting into our all-decade team. So it's now 2020. It's the new year, and it's time to reflect on the last 10 seasons of Chargers football, the good and the bad. But in this case, we're talking about who makes the all-time team for the decade. So, John, you were the one that brought this up to me as something that you wanted to do. Did you have fun looking at this and kind of reflecting back on the beginning in the 2010s and seeing which players filled out this all-decade team?
Have fun? Not really. Frustrated, yes, very frustrating. Looking at where we were pretty weak at on a consistent basis and never really fixed it or tried to fill it out, pretty frustrating because at some point you feel like, you know, this position was pretty good at that time. And then you go back and you look at it and you go, oh my God, we were horrible even then. Like, what's wrong with our D-line? What's wrong with our linebackers? Why do we have this issue every year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Chargers had a few positions that were very hard to fill out for this one. And there's been a couple of articles. Daniel Popper wrote an article for The Athletic. Chargers Wire came out with their all-decade team as well. So we're going to kind of use those as references and say if we agree or disagree with those. And we're going to start with the offensive side of the ball. And first, let me just get out of the way the fact that Phillip Rivers is obviously the quarterback of the all-decade team since he's been the only quarterback throughout this decade. So, Phil, you win on that one. The second one, the running back, it was a little closer between Ryan Matthews and Melvin Gordon. Obviously, neither one of them was great for the Chargers this decade. Ryan Matthews was very good on the field but could never stay healthy, and Melvin Gordon has had some good years, and he's been up and down a little bit. But as far as production goes, Melvin Gordon has been by far the most productive Chargers running back with almost 20 more touchdowns than Ryan Matthews had this decade. So I'll give that. I don't have too much of a problem with him being there. But that's when things get a little interesting, is when you get to wide receivers, because the top two wide receivers are pretty easy. It's going to be Keenan Allen, who is not only an all-decade receiver for the Chargers, but an all-time great at the position for the Bolts. And then Malcolm Floyd, who had played a significant amount of time in the decade and put up some really good numbers and was just always so consistent as well. So he was an easy pick for the wide receivers. But that's when the third wide receiver conversation gets a little tricky. And it's funny because the Chargers, you know, have had their own struggles with their third wide receiver. But a couple of guys would be Tyrell Williams gets a nomination. Then you have Vincent Jackson. Some would even put Mike Williams there, but I'm not quite ready to put him there yet. John, who did you go with your third wide receiver?
I went with a guy that that played with my running back. I had Ryan Matthews for running back, so I went with the guy that played with them. I felt like they kind of complemented each other in that offense of North Turner. And I went with Vincent Jackson because he was more reliable catching the ball. And even when he had his holdout year for a while, he came back and was still way more productive than all the other Charger wide receivers were. Whenever you saw him go deep and jump for a ball or leap and dive for a ball, he caught that ball. You don't really see that much anymore except for Keenan Allen.
Yeah, and I think it's a conversation. If you're talking about who's the best player of the decade to play for the Chargers at that position, Vincent Jackson is definitely the guy. Tyrell Williams put up bigger numbers in the 2010s than Vincent Jackson did, but I don't have any problem with Vincent Jackson being that third wide receiver. But now it's time to move on to the offensive line, where things get a little bit trickier. I think most of us have the same for most of these. I know John basically has the whole offensive line from when it first turned to the 2010s as his offensive line. His is Chris Dielman at left guard. At left tackle, he has Marcus McNeil. Center, he has Nick Hardwick. Right guard, he has Luis Vasquez. And then for right tackle, he has Jeremy Clary. So I think that that's probably the best offensive line as a whole that they had. I think there could be an argument for Russell Okung at left tackle, just because Marcus McNeil, by that point, when it turned to 2010 and 2011, was off injured and was not playing anywhere near the first couple of seasons where he was a Pro Bowler. But I think that Russell Okung, just, you know, with the 3 years of being pretty productive, could be made an argument for. But David, at the end of the day, it's not really about who's on the list. I mean, Jeremy Clary was a guy who never made a Pro Bowl, but he was consistent, played 2,400 consecutive offensive snaps at one point, I saw on Chargers Wire. So it's not really about the guys that are on here, but I think it's more of a reflection of how bad this Chargers offensive line has been when you're looking back and see that Nick Hardwick, no doubt, was the best center, even playing only a few years. Chris Dielman only played a couple years in this decade, and he was obviously the best. Marcus McNeil's name keeps coming up, and he was only in it for 2 years out of this decade. The Chargers' offensive line was pretty good then, but it's been pretty bad ever since.
Right, and it's not like they haven't tried to address it, but all of their attempts have been futile. Even their first-round selections, they did not pan out. I mean, the middle rounds did not pan out. They have not been able to draft offensive line the entire decade. They have not really signed anyone outside of Russell Okung that has come in and actually made a positive impact for a long period of time. The futility in addressing, or the lack thereof of addressing, this position has been so apparent when doing research for the all-decade offensive line team. It's scraping the bottom of the barrel, and that's putting it nicely. They absolutely have to change the philosophy going forward, Daniel. It has to happen. It's been absolutely terrible. They need to fix it.
And Daniel Popper had Russell Okung as his left tackle, and one of the reasons he says that too is Okung is one of three Chargers offensive linemen to make a Pro Bowl this decade. The other was Chris Dielman, who was a Pro Bowler in 2010. And then there was Mike Pouncey last year, who was a Pro Bowler in name alone, basically. I mean, his performance wasn't necessarily a Pro Bowl performance in 2018, but yes, he did make the Pro Bowl. John, I know that you, I mean, are thinking back and taking basically the whole offensive line from the early 2010s, but, I mean, what do you think this says that you have guys like Jeremy Clary, who wouldn't be considered, you know, a really good offensive lineman, even though he was pretty consistent, and these other guys were taking only played a couple of seasons in the decade, and how that reflects on the Chargers' front office and coaching staff for not being able to develop the offensive linemen they do have in the front office, for just not being able to scout these guys and find winners, as we've seen even this year with, you know, Trey Pipkins and these other guys like Chris Watt and Max Turk come to mind. And David, the first round picks that they've spent on him, I mean, in the last 30 plus years, it's only been DJ Fluker, who ended up being somewhat of a disaster. So, John, what do you think that says about this last decade for the Chargers, that this is the offensive line that we come up for this list?
Well, I think it has to speak to Tom Telesco, because he came in 2013, and most of the offensive linemen that we had from the North Turner era left after 2012, whether they retired or were cut, whatever the case may be. It turned into Tom Telesco's team. And if you look at some of the guys they had, it was guys like King Dunlap, Chad Reinhart, Johnny Troutman, DJ Fluker. Like, these guys are nowhere close to great. And DJ Fluker was our first round pick, and he was always hurt. King Dunlap comes in, always has concussions. Troutman kept getting hurt. Like, guys we kept getting, we even drafted Donovan Clark, and he got hurt. Everyone Telesco seems to draft on the offensive line gets hurt. Forrest Lamp is another one of them. Or they underperform, like a Dan Feeney. Or
Sam Tevy.
Yeah, Sam Tevy. Like, I went with Jeremy Clary because what am I going to do, pick Sam Tevy or Joe Barksdale? I mean, those guys were really, really productive, and Barksdale was always hurt as well. And we were on this podcast going, Barksdale needs to go. He needs to go. He keeps getting hurt. He needs to go. Why do we still have him? And here comes Sam Tevy. Now we're like, he needs to go. Like, the only thing we've gotten that was good were some left tackles. Russell Okung and King Dunlap was really good. He just kept getting concussions. So I think I have to speak to Tom Telesco. What is he really looking at? Is he looking at injury history, or is he just looking at, hey, this guy's pretty good size wise, let's get him? What about injury history? What about footwork? What about production? What about work ethic? Is he looking at any of this type of stuff?
Well, and the thing is, if it was just injuries, it would be one thing, and Forrest Lamp has been the most injured of the guys that you're talking about, and he did spend, you know, back-to-back picks, the second and third round picks, on offensive linemen. And the Chargers obviously don't really spend first round picks on offensive linemen. He also brought in Orlando Franklin, which was a disaster. The Donovan Clark thing, that's a seventh round pick. Trey Pipkins obviously is hugely questionable. But, I mean, some of these guys didn't have injury history really when he picked them, but they've gotten injured a lot. But the guys that have still been able to be in there and are healthy have still not been able to cut it. I mean, Matt Slauson is a guy who was actually a pretty good pickup for them, but, I mean, he was never really better than average. He just looked a lot better playing with a very subpar offensive line. So that's one of the things that really showed in this all-decade team conversation, is just the fact that the Chargers have some spots where it seems like they've gone an entire decade without being able to figure it out, and in some cases, even longer than that. So we do need to get into the defensive side of the ball and talk about some of the guys that are still on the team making the list, and also some guys from the past that you want to hear about coming up right after this. All right, guys. Well, it's time to get into the final segment of the show. I've had a lot of fun kicking 2020 off with this all-decade team list. And obviously, it's also incredibly frustrating, like John mentioned before. But it's time to get into the defensive side of the ball and talk about the defensive ends first, because that's a position for this list that we're not going to have an argument about, David. When it comes to the defensive end position, which has changed since the Chargers went from John Pagano to Gus Bradley, now that you're running the 4-3, but the defensive ends don't change for this conversation. Hands down, it's going to be Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa.
Without question, there's no conversation needed about it. Those two have been the best, toughest, most consistent guys for the Chargers at that position this entire decade.
Absolutely. And from Daniel Popper of The Athletic, Bosa's 37 sacks this decade and four seasons are already 10th most in franchise history. The only player with more sacks this decade is Melvin Ingram, who has 46.5, which is the fifth most in franchise history. And Ingram also has the most tackles for loss by any Charger this decade. And I think that's fitting, because even before Joey Bosa, I mean, really stepped his game up in the running game this season. I mean, Melvin Ingram was the jack of all trades. But it's time to get into the two problem positions. So, John, I've seen a lot of these lists of Brandon Mebane and Corey Legit as the best defensive tackles of this decade. And that is almost seems like a joke. I mean, to put Brandon Mebane in there, you're doing it based on, I think, what he did in Seattle, because it can't be what he's been able to do with the Chargers. I know he plays nose tackle, and that's an ungratifying position where you're not going to get the big stats that you want. But to even see those guys on this list, it shows you how bad the Chargers have been with their interior defensive linemen.
Yeah, this was by far the most disappointing research I had to do, going through all 10 teams and seeing all these defensive linemen, guys like Kendall Reyes, Von Martin, Abreu Franklin, wow, Cam Thomas, Corey Legit. And like Corey Legit, like, had some good moments, but also he had a lot of bad moments, and he did not live up to being a first round pick in my mind. And the guy,
even though he's the most productive technically, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't good.
The guys I went with based on what I saw, like, I didn't go based off stats when I did this. I based it off of what I saw when I watched games. And I went off of the, I went with Luis Castillo and Antonio Gray, because I felt they, Luis Castillo held his gap better than most people. He didn't always get a sack or a tackle for a loss, but he held his gap, which is something that I think was important, especially after Jamal Williams left. And then Antonio Gray had really good penetration. He had no one else with him to help get tackles. He would get into that backfield easily, but someone would always be slacking on the other side, and they would go to that side and avoid Antonio Gray. So I went with those two. But yeah, the defensive line has just been atrocious this whole decade. And I don't know why we never target it. Why is it always some random old guy, free agent, or a fourth round pick who's not even productive that we are bringing onto this team? And the fact that we held on to Kendall Reyes for so many years throughout this blows my mind as well.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, those lists, that list of names that you just brought up, like, it honestly, it just makes me laugh at the Chargers. I've been struggling so hard to fill that position. I mean, I saw in one of the articles written about this exact subject, just saying it seems like the Chargers went the entire 2010s without or trying to fill in for what they're missing with Jamal Williams. And I mean, that's 100% true. They haven't been able to find anyone to fill that giant hole that he left, both figuratively and literally. I mean, Jamal Williams was a giant, giant man. But the other big problem position here, David, is the linebacking core. So Daniel Popper of The Athletic has his linebackers as Sean Phillips, Donald Butler, and Denzel Perryman. So I think Sean Phillips is the guy that we could pretty much unanimously say he's the best of this era in this decade. I mean, he played outside linebacker at the time when the Chargers were playing in a 3-4. And obviously he played enough seasons to really make an impact in this decade and is one of the better Chargers outside linebackers ever. But the other two, I mean, Denzel Perryman has been so injured, and even when he's on the field, he just has such liabilities, even though at sometimes, you know, he's able to get in the backfield and be a presence stopping the run. But Donald Butler, I mean, he had a good season. He got paid, and then he was pretty bad. So it's really hard to look at this list and talk about these guys without remembering how mad that we were that they were on the Chargers at some point.
Oh, my goodness, man. We have talked badly about all of those players, and it's for a good reason. The Chargers, again, have been unable to bring in a stalwart at the linebacker position, especially in the middle this entire decade. It's been, you know, sign old guys, or, you know, come in and have one productive year, maybe two, and then they're gone. Nobody has been able to stay consistent and really, you know, establish themselves like a Junior Seau type. The Chargers haven't had a middle linebacker or a linebacker period like him since him, and they never will, but they have to bring in a guy who has that same mentality, and we just haven't seen it.
We haven't seen it, and we really haven't seen a true three-down linebacker since the 2010 season. I mean, we really haven't seen a guy who can come in and be that player for the Chargers, and Donald Butler was a guy who you thought it could potentially be, and then once he got paid, he never played as well, and he was just downright bad for a couple of seasons. So the Chargers are still looking for that linebacker. I mean, Drew Tranquil made some promising strides this year. And I think right now when you're looking at these linebackers, you wouldn't have a hard time believing that Drew Tranquil could pass some of these guys if he continues on the trajectory he's on right now. But let's talk about the secondary. And that's a place where I think all four of us have the same guy. I mean, I know that some lists had Jahleel Adai as the strong safety, but I know both of you guys agree. I mean, the best Charger strong safety this decade was Derwin James. It has to be, right, John?
No doubt. He's only been here 2 years, and he is already the leader of the team, the best tackler on the team, is already making headlines.
Maybe the best player.
Yeah, and making headlines across the NFL about how freaking good this guy is. He is without a doubt the best guy, and if you pair him with Eric Weddle on this all-decade list, you already have probably one of the best safety duos in the entire NFL all-decade teams across the NFL.
Yeah, David, I think that's right. I mean, it would be hard to find another two safeties that played for the same team in the same decade that match up to Eric Weddle and Derwin James. I just wish we could have seen those guys on the field at the same time.
Oh, man, that would be awesome. I mean, just to see all of the amazing things that Derwin James can do, and it would really free him up to let him, you know, get close to the line of scrimmage, to blitz more, to really, you know, be a menace against tight ends and running backs and allow, you know, Eric Weddle to, you know, free roam and do what he did best. I mean, those guys were two masters of their craft and in their primes. And, you know, Derwin James, I don't think is in his prime yet, but those two guys, I mean, absolutely incredible what they can do and what they have done in the NFL.
Well, and Jahleel Adai, I mean, I think the Jahleel Adai hate went a little bit too far. There was a couple of decent seasons in there, but at the same time,
plenty from us too.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I'm not trying to say that we weren't hard on Jahleel Adai by any means, but at the same time, his two highest Pro Football Focus graded seasons were 70.6 in 2017 and a 79.5 in 2016, when everyone was actually, you know, pretty high on him and thought he could actually be a player that the Chargers would consider keeping around. But you look at that and then you see that Derwin James coming back from injury and only playing in five games this season had an 82.3. I mean, and that's him shaking the rust off after having a rookie season where he had an 88.3 overall grade. Just absolutely ridiculous. Derwin James is the best safety to play for the Chargers this decade, and it's really not even that close. I mean, the strong safety position would be another, you know, linebacker, defensive tackle type position if we had to put Jahleel Adai as that guy to fill that role. But the cornerbacks for this decade have to be, I mean, it's Quentin Jammer. I mean, he's just an all-time Charger. Was never made a Pro Bowler, but was always a really consistent, good player for them and was always available for them, which is something that doesn't go overlooked. And for the other side, it's Casey Hayward. Casey Hayward has been Tom Telesco's probably biggest free agent signing since he took over as the general manager. He's been great in his time with the Chargers. I mean, he's never really been bad in his time with the Chargers. He hasn't had a bad season. Led the league in interceptions in 2016 with 7, and he's just been, I mean, as consistent as the Chargers cornerback can be for them. I mean, no matter what. I mean, you think back and it's like Jason Verrett was a guy you thought would be on this list, which is crazy to think about. But the two we have are naming a conversation, and Eric Weddle
and Brandon Flowers could be on that list too if he had actually stayed healthy.
Yeah, if Brandon Flowers wouldn't have missed like 15 games in a season due to concussions, which is just really scary. I mean, he definitely could have been at least contemplated for this list, out, you know, opposite of Casey Hayward. I mean, he's probably overall talent was better than Quentin Jammer, but I think it sucks to see that. I mean, Brandon Flowers, Jason Verrett, those were the Chargers starting corner at one point. You thought you had a couple of the better ones in the NFL, but Eric Weddle, 6 seasons in this decade. Led the NFL with 7 interceptions as well. His was in 2011, made the Pro Bowl in 11, 12, and 14, and was an All-Pro in 2011 and 2014 as well. And that's all from Chargers Wire, where I got these numbers from. But now it's time to get into the special teams unit. So this is another one where there's not very much of an argument. I mean, Nick Novak was the best Chargers kicker among a pretty bad class, even though Michael Badgley, as Daniel Popper mentions in his all-time decade list, was the most accurate kicker, but he's only attempted 26 field goals, so it can't necessarily go to him. Nick Novak, I mean, his leg strength kind of waned over the last couple of seasons, but he was always accurate. And more than that, he was just clutch. I mean, he wasn't ever afraid of a big kick. But the punter of the All-Decade team is, you know, maybe the best punter in Chargers history, and that is Mike Seifers. And to think about the Chargers letting go of Mike Seifers to get Drew Kaser, which obviously turned into a disaster, is a whole nother conversation. But the only really tricky one in this is the punt returner, because the punt returner and kick returner, the Chargers haven't really had a lot of kickoff return touchdowns. I mean, we're not going to put Michael Spurlock on this list as the best returner. So I think it probably has to be Desmond King, David. I know that John had it being Darren Sproles, but that was actually the only season he played for them in this decade as a returner was 2010. And it was actually one of his worst years as a punt returner, only averaged 6.9 yards per return. So overall talent, overall career, it's definitely Darren Sproles. But I think even though he muffed so many punts this year, David, I mean, what are we going to do? Give it to Travis Benjamin?
Definitely not. I mean, we're definitely not going to do that at all. But yeah, I think it's the only thing we can do. I mean, just, you know, he did come off of a second team All-Pro, you know, nod as a returner. So, I mean, that carries weight. I mean, the Pro Bowl, that's a popularity contest, but the All-Pro team, that's legitimate. You know, that's something that you should hold to a high esteem, in my opinion. And you know, that's not something they just hand out to everybody. So that carries water for me. And so I think, you know, that one tremendous year and the potential to have more years after this. I mean, he's still a very young player. Desmond King has plenty of time to, you know, get back, work at that craft, and get back to his, you know, second team All-Pro form. But yeah, I mean, it's got to be the guy.
And it's another reluctant option for us to pick for this all-time decade list, but it is funny how reflective this list is for the Chargers as an organization, and the fact that, you know, we come back every season to record episodes of Locked On Chargers or Chargers Domination Live, and it seems like we're always talking about the same things. Well, guys, guess what? That's because it's been happening for over a decade. That's why we do it. I mean, the Chargers still aren't able to figure it out, but this was a fun list, and it is fun looking back at some of those players from the past that you can think about how good they would be on this team right now. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. We will be back with you guys tomorrow. It is Fan Voicemail Friday, and we have a few in the chamber that are ready to go with some end-of-season calls for the Chargers. And we're also going to talk about Melvin Gordon saying he wants to come back to the Chargers. Spoiler alert, I don't really want him back. But we'll get into that tomorrow. Until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. If you guys want to try to get your voicemails on the show, we're going to continue doing that in the offseason. The number is 323-524-7924. Happy New Year's again, guys. Make sure you get your 2020 off to a great start. And thank you for starting it by listening to the Locked On Chargers podcast. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.